It's wonderful to have Brendan Lindsay from Cambridge Stud joining us as a special guest on the program this morning. How are you, Brendan?
Good morning, Joan.
How are things over in New Zealand?
Things are pretty good in New Zealand. We've been very busy. We purchased a Cambridge Stud on the 4th of April last year off Sir Patrick and Lady Justine Hogan, and it's 12-month anniversary, which was on Thursday for my wife and I, Joe, which we celebrated with a nice glass of champagne, and of course announced our new stallion roaring line the same day. So it's exciting times for us.
They certainly are. You've done wonderful things with Cambridge in what is still a pretty short amount of time. In just 1 year, you've embarked on all sorts of different improvements to the property and changes. Run us through those, Brendan.
What we decided to do was when we had the opportunity to buy the business, and it is a big opportunity and it's a big responsibility, I think, because it is an iconic business and an iconic brand. With obviously Sir Tristram and Zabeel, you know, long before us, and the respect that for Patrick Hogan for his input into the bloodstock industry in New Zealand. So we decided, Joe and I, that we'd want to put our own handwriting on the business, and it had got a little bit tired over the last few years with its infrastructure, and things have moved on so much. So we've built a new hospitality centre, we've built a new offices, which is opening in about 6 weeks' time. We've got new yearling barns going up, new stallion barns, serving barns. So we basically remodeled the whole property. In order to do that, we basically bulldozed everything from straight after the horses left for the sales on the 20th of January. We got the bulldozers in and we've just leveled the whole place and we've started again. So it's a massive project. I've got an awful lot of builders on site and I've got a heck of a big whip out at the moment because we've got such a very short time frame to get it all done.
Mm. And how were the sales back in January for you as vendors?
We had a fantastic sale and we went with 53 horses for sale and we sold the lot. We made a decision that we were there to sell and we wanted to meet the market, whatever the market was. But I must say, they were higher than our expectations overall. So we were very happy with our result. But we're also very happy. It appears that we're getting quite a bit of support from New Zealand buyers, but mainly Australian buyers, the likes of the Mixed Prices of the World and John Ford and people like that that have come to New Zealand regularly and bought horses. And certainly, you know, they've bought a few horses off, which is really good.
Mm. It's such an iconic brand, Cambridge, and you've been very mindful of preserving and maintaining the legacy and the history of Cambridge since you took over.
Yes, we have. And one of the things we are doing is we are building a museum for Sir Tristram and Zabeel, and obviously part of that Sir Patrick Hogan. But another thing about Cambridge, which I don't think a lot of people realise, is not only has it been a great breeding ground for horses, it's been a great breeding ground for people. And the list of people that have worked on Cambridge Stud in the early parts of their career and gone onto other things, I mean, for example, James Cummings worked there for 18 months. Colm Saintry from Cornwall was there for a season. It's just amazing the amount of people that have had Cambridge Stud's been a nursery for them for their career. And part of that legacy about that property is to acknowledge those people that have contributed right back since 1984 when Patrick started Cambridge Stud, and you know, where they are now what they've done with their careers, because I think just about every single stud manager bar one in New Zealand has worked at Cambridge Stud in the early parts of their career, which is really quite amazing.
Brendan, you've been highly successful in a completely unrelated line of business to racing. How have you enjoyed the challenge of throwing yourself into this business over the past 12 months?
Oh, look, we've really enjoyed it. This racing business is a lot tougher because there's so many more moving parts in the racing industry, and we've come into the industry at the twilight of our careers, whereas a lot of folks that are in this industry have grown up with horses and trained and been a very big part of their lives and their family lives. So we need to learn from those folk, and what Joe and I have always done is we've always surrounded ourselves with people that are smarter than us. And in this particular industry, it's actually quite easy to find those people because we are learning. But I've assembled a group of people that have stayed on Cambridge Stud that have been there for quite some time and added the likes of Henry Plumtree and Scott Calder and a few other people. And we've changed the handwriting of the business. We've changed the way we do things. And our role is really to give them direction where we want to go and be the orchestra conductor and let them just get on and play their instruments. And I'm absolutely convinced that Cambridge Stud is going to be remembered for a lot more years long after we're gone.
It's such a exciting time for both you and Joe. And Joe, you mentioned your wife is very heavily involved in this whole journey with you.
Yeah, we do everything together. And on the building program, for example, we decide what we're going to do. And I look after the nuts and bolts, the outside with the contracts and get everything organized. And Joe looks after the internal. So she looks after the color schemes, the fit outs and all the things that she can lay her hand to and put her handwriting on. But, you know, we live, eat and sleep Cambridge Stud, and business for that matter in everything we do. But I'm very lucky, and I think she probably could say the same, that, you know, you're lucky when you can share your passion and you can share your dream with someone that's just as passionate as you. And the fact that we live in the same house and sleep in the same bed together just makes it just so much more enjoyable.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you've both had a wonderful experience together over many years now as successful owners too with racehorses.
Yes, and, you know, the thing about owning racehorses, you know, there's just so many highs and lows. And, you know, we're lucky enough that we'd have had a lot of horses running in our colours. We don't race with partners as a rule. We just race horses together and we try and enjoy it. And, you know, sometimes you get your expectations up and the horses don't go quite as well as what, you know, you'd like, and other times they surprise you. It's a tough game and you need to celebrate the wins when they come and accept the losses when they come and you know, congratulate the folk that actually have won, because, you know, it's hard to get them to that winner's circle. And it's a great sport, and I think a lot of thing about racing, people look at it as on the financial side of it. Racing is a sport, and if you treat it as a sport and you turn up on a Saturday and it is sport, well, then you can enjoy it a lot more rather than looking at the prize money and looking at the return and how much things cost. It's actually a sport, and just go out and enjoy it. That's what I say.
Back to the business side of things, Brendan, with Cambridge, and it's been a big week for you in announcing the fact that you've secured the Southern Hemisphere breeding rights to the world champion three-year-old Roaring Lion. What a coup.
Well, it was a coup, and, you know, it's funny how things happen in life, and I believe in karma, but we were lucky enough to get invited to Japan by Chris Waller to look to Northern Farms, to the breeding station up there. And, you know, on that trip we met the Thais, that, of course, have got a share in Winx, and we had a fantastic few days. There's only half a dozen people on that trip. And I met David Redfors, who represents Qatar Racing and stands you know, a number of their horses, including Roaring Lion now. And I met him up there, and I watched Roaring Lion's first Group 1 win in a bar with him that night. And I said to Joe when I got back to bed, I said, I think I've just seen a champion racehorse. I said, I think we've got to try and further this relationship. The horse went on, of course, and won a couple of more races, Group 1s. We got asked up to England. We went to St James's Palace, and we also got asked to Royal Ascot. And we were lucky enough to be entertained by the Altani family who are part, you know, own Qatar Racing. And we ended up being in the Queen's box and watching Roaring Lion win his fourth Group 1 with Her Majesty the Queen, who came over and said hello to Joe and I and spoke about the fact that she'd been to Cambridge Stud and how she remembered the trip. And that was when the whole thing started. And we then made it clear in September that we really wanted Roaring Lion to come down to New Zealand. I went back in December and sat down with Sheikh Fahad and David Redfors, and we started to negotiate the deal on how to get that horse down to New Zealand. There was five other parties that were also trying to get the horse. Three of them were Australian-based. and we didn't really think we had a chance. And it's taken all this time for them to realise what we're doing at Cambridge Starter and support us, I guess, if for a want of a better words, is they recognise the heritage and the history, and they want to be part of it. That's why they gave us the opportunity to take Roaring Lion. And you know, he is a head-turning horse. I mean, he's world champion, voted world champion horse, and that's above horses like Justify and Enable. You know, so to have that opportunity to bring a horse of that calibre down to New Zealand, it just doesn't happen very often, and I would suggest it probably only ever happens once in a lifetime. So we're extremely lucky.
You certainly are. What a great story. And Brendan, David Redfers has confirmed that they'll commit up to 20 mares on behalf of Sheikh Farhad to Roaring Lion in the Southern Hemisphere each year. So that in itself is significant as well.
Well, it is, because in the original part of the deal, they actually had 5 and then they changed it to 10. And when the final paperwork came in, they said, now we actually want to send 20. And one of the reasons for that was when they stood Roaring Lion, you know, where she's standing his first season now, they thought they'd get about 140 mares to the horse. They filled him up with 160 mares within a matter of weeks, and he was standing at £40,000, so you know, nearly 80,000 New Zealand dollars, so twice the price. And they're turning mares away. The horse is also very fertile. So all of a sudden they thought, my goodness, you know, he's very fertile, he's very well, and so many people want to, we need to support the Southern Hemisphere breeding a little bit more. So we were quite surprised, but the main thing is for us is building that relationship with people on the other side of the world. You know, who knows what other opportunities will come for a Cambridge Stud in the future.
This is potentially, or is in fact, I dare say, an absolute game changer for the New Zealand breeding industry and for Australian breeders too, who can send horses over. Of course, he's going to stand at a fee which I think for him, and based on what you've told us of his fees in the Northern Hemisphere, is quite reasonable, $35,000 plus GST.
So the reason why we've done that is because the New Zealand breeding industry's you know, finding it difficult. We've dropped our broodmare band in the last 10 years from around about 9,000 to about 3,500. A lot of New Zealand breeders are sending horses across to Australia, and quite rightly so. And what we need trying to do is we're trying to encourage Australian breeders to come the other way. Now, last night, we were lucky enough to spend a few hours with Karen Maher, who put a do on in Sydney, and I didn't sell four noms, but the Cornwall boys, Cornwall Australia, committed 2 mares last night, and another Australian breeder committed 2 mares. Both of them came up and said, we're sending mares to New Zealand for this horse. This is a game changer. That's never happened before. So we're encouraged. What you can look at it and say, well, maybe we could have sold him for more, maybe could have sold him for 50,000 or something like that. The whole point of the exercise is encourage, set the price at a fair and reasonable level, encourage people to come back and support our business, but also we bring other stallions on and we do other things, is to build those relationships so we can all make some money out of the horse. It's not just about making money, it's about doing the right thing for the industry, and doing the right thing for the New Zealand industry is paramount in the front of mind for us. That's what we bought the business for. That's our commitment to New Zealand racing and breeding, and we don't need to be greedy. What we need to be is realistic.
And you've also got Al Manzoor standing.
So he was it's quite interesting, actually, because Roaring Lion won 4 Group 1s in a row, and he's got a time form rating of 130, whereas Al Manzoor, he won 3 Group 1s in a row, and he's got a time form rating of 133, which last year was the same as Winx. He is a serious racehorse because he beat you know, the best in the world when he won his races. We've done the same deal with bringing him down to Subtle Stallion, and we stand him for 30,000. We've limited to 140 mares for him, and we turned away about 20 mares this year. and he's well priced as well. But the good news with El Mansour is the reports from people outside the stud where he stands are saying that his yearlings, that his weanings that he's just had are exceptional. So that encourages us for the future as well.
Certainly does. So what's been the reaction from the New Zealand industry to all of these significant inroads that you've been making over the past year or so?
Well, I don't know any negatives, Joe, but I guess people don't say those to your face. I think people see us as a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Not everybody's, you know, because we have got some the financial resources behind us, it makes it a little easier for us and for a lot of folk who are battling along. But the reality is that, you know, we're very clear about our goals and ambitions, and that was obvious at the sales. You know, we went to the sales with 53 horses and we came home with none. You know, we're sellers, we're breeders, we race horses, and we treat the game as a sport. A lot of people are looking at what we're doing and saying, hey, congratulations, well done, how can I get involved? And we feel there's a real tailwind behind us. There's a real sense of a lot of people saying, how do we help? How do we get involved? Isn't this fantastic? And I would say the reaction is extremely good. You know, as good as we would expect, and if not better.
And that's lovely to hear, and that's the way that it should be. You've done so much in a short time. Where does the vision sort of go from here? I mean, how big is Cambridge, you know, potentially going to become? What are the likely scenarios with that, Brendan?
Well, I think we've got to keep, you know, our feet on the ground. It's going to be a long, hard journey. It's going to be three years before some of these horses, their progeny hit the track. We have to be realistic about the fact that sometimes everything you do doesn't work out the best, but we've got to be consistent in our approach. Our goal is to hand Cambridge Stud on to the next owners, because we're not going to live forever. Whether they be our family, our children, or whether it be somebody else, in a better state than we bought it, but to keep it as New Zealand's iconic brand and to put it up right up there so, you know, our grandchildren can be proud of what their grandparents have done, and other people in the industry can come on to Cambridge Stud and come to the museum and get this whole sense of history about racing and what it's done for people, not just horses, and where it came from and this hard work. You know, one of the things about Cambridge Stud that, you know, you've been to the property, but yourself, but, you know, Sir Patrick Hogan planted every single tree by hand on that property. You know, so he was out there nights and weekends and after school with his kids. And you're not talking about one or two. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of trees. And those trees now, some of them got old and needed to be replaced. But the reality is, you know, there's a bit of something there that one bloke has worked his bum off for 30 years of his life. And what we need to do is we need to make it not better, but we just need to put our handwriting on it and pass it on to the next generation so they can enjoy his life's work. We're just the keepers of the brand. We don't own it. We own it physically, but we're just the keepers of it, and it's our responsibility to pass it on and make it better.
And hearing that would make Sir Patrick Hogan very happy. Is he in the background still playing a bit of a role there?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, he said to me a while ago when we were parading El Mansour one day, he was telling one of the boys what to do and do this and do that and do the other thing, and I said to him, Patrick, you're just going to have to lay off a little bit on this, you know. And he said, I know, but he said, you know, you might have bought the business, but he said, it's still mine. And, you know, I don't take that as offensive. You know, I think that's quite cool. So I said to him, well, I think what I have to do is I'm going to have to put a lock on the gate to stop you coming and going whenever you please. And he said, yeah, it's all right. He said, but there's a hole in the fence. So he said, I'll just crawl through there. So, you know, Patrick's got a great sense of humour, and he's been extremely supportive. And we've just spent, last week we did about 2 hours of interviews with Patrick for the museum. So we're trying to capture all his thoughts and thinking now, you know, because he's like all of us, his age is ticking away. So, he's been really good, like really, really good.
Well, that's fantastic. Brendan, thank you for joining us this morning on the program. Wonderful to finally catch up with you. I know it's been a very busy 12 months or so getting Cambridge to this next exciting level. Congratulations on all you've achieved so far, and I love hearing your vision for the future.
Well, thanks, Joe. And, you know, for all the wish listeners that are out there, if they ever do get to have the opportunity to come to New Zealand and would like to visit Cambridge Stud, we have an open door policy, and we'd love to see you, and we'd love to show you what we're doing, and come and enjoy the property as much as we do.
That's terrific. Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers, Joe.
That's Brendan Lindsay, who now owns Cambridge Stud with his wife Jo, and they're making amazing inroads for the New Zealand breeding industry at the moment. And you heard it this morning on Talking Horses. If you're ever across the ditch and you want to visit Cambridge, they have an open door policy. I would strongly suggest, if you have the opportunity to go, that you do take up that very kind offer.